I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. I ask you to stand to your feet while we reverence in that the reading of God's Word this evening. I'll read two verses and then I'll let you, we'll pray and I'll let you be seated or let you be seated and we'll pray and we'll go back and read some more tonight. But I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 4 and look in verse 26. And the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And neither give place to the devil." Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the songs that have already been sung, for the testifying. Lord, we know there's some here tonight with a heavy heart. And I pray that you would just help those tonight that only you can help tonight. And God, I pray you would touch. And we ask tonight if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray they might get saved. And Lord, for those that just need some direction and comfort, I pray it might be found in your word tonight. Lord, I pray you'd give us the words to preach. And Lord, just let us preach as an I man to dying people tonight as it might be the last time that we ever stand to preach your word. And Lord, we know you're soon to come. And Lord, as we preach tonight, I pray that you just open the word of God. We do need unction from the Holy One tonight. There's nothing we can do in our own. And we're looking and leaning on you. And we'll give you the glory for it all. We love you. And thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for Calvary. It is because of you tonight that we'll get there. And we thank you for that. Save that sinner's news tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. I want to back up and begin to read in verse 17. And the Bible says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So we see in that the work of the Gentile right here, those that are lost, as Paul was writing to them. But in verse 20 he said, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." As I read all these verses right here, just to kind of lead in on this message tonight, maybe a little different, or I may preach a little different than usual, but as Paul was writing to the church here at Ephesus, and he gives a description in that of the lost Gentile. Here, starting in verse 17, how that they walk in the vanity of their mind and their understanding is darkened because there is a blindness in their heart tonight and they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way the world is tonight. They're just like that. They're walking in the blindness of their heart and in the vanity of their mind, doing as they please and thinking as they please tonight, not realizing that they're going to meet a Creator and a just God one day after a while. All of us are going to stand before God. But this world tonight is going to stand before Him and give an account why they rejected the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He goes on to tell us right here that they are past feeling. And listen, now that means they have no feeling in what they're doing, almost as their conscience is seared and God has brought them past, or they have brought themselves to that place to where they think not of God, they give no consideration to Him, and they're going to do as they please. But if you notice, the Apostle Paul said, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Listen, as we got saved, we began to learn of Him and study of Him, and have Him in our heart and in our life to understand that there's something different about us when we got saved. And we begin to read this Bible. We begin to learn about Christ and what He wants out of our life. And He begins to tell us right here. He says, if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. And so I understand that as a man or a woman gets saved, boy or girl gets saved, He resides in their heart. He resides in them. But we must be taught by Him and learn about Him, amen. And that's why, listen, Sunday school is so important. Your daily Bible reading is so important. You to be faithful to church is so important. And He begins to talk about the things to put off and the things to put on and what to put away. As I've told you many times, and some of y'all have never heard me say this, I used to struggle with these verses in light of 2 Corinthians 5:17 because the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And listen, when I got saved, that's what happened. Christ made a new creature in every person that He's ever saved. But then there are some, if I can say this, there is some characteristics or things, I hate that word, some things that we are to do in ourselves and of ourselves. Notice what He's saying. What was it He said to put off? He said what? Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's not talking about your speech. We use the word conversation now to talk about what we're saying. But conversation in the Bible is your deportment and how you carry yourself. When He talks about our conversation is in heaven, our life is there. Listen tonight, He said that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, and He tells us how the old man was, which was corrupt in deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, but then that you put on the new man. And when I realized that Christ made us a new creature in Him, but then there were some things that we were to do of our own, not to be saved, nor to stay saved, but because we are saved, that we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. And then He talks about putting away some things. And so He talks about putting away what? Lying. Speak every man the truth. And He talks about being angry and sinning not, neither giving place to the devil, not to steal, not to let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but to have good speech and not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And talks about how we're to not have bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all these things. To be kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgive one another. And so as Christians, that's what we're to do. But tonight, if I could look at just this real quick in verse 26 and verse 27 and verse 31. We find that He says in verse 26, He says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place unto the devil. But yet in verse 31, He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And so we find that in the scripture right here, is even though it is not contradictory, and we think that it could be, He says, be angry and sin not, but yet in verse 31, He says to put anger away. And so I want to deal with that tonight, simply on anger, or being angry at the right things. I think the children of God need to get angry sometimes. I think sometimes we have lost the ability to become angry. We have let the world tell us you don't need to be angry. Now 98% of the time, and that's an arbitrary number by the way tonight, I have not studied that percentage out in my Bible, but most of the time, let me say it that way, anger is spoken of in a bad way in the Bible. Anger is a violent passion, the definition of it tonight, of the mind excited by a real or supposed injury. Have you thought of how maybe somebody said something out of the way to you, but yet they didn't mean it the way that you took it? Have you ever had that happen before? Amen, I have. As a matter of fact, I've probably been on both sides of that situation. My wife has to tune me up from time to time and says, now that bear's coming out on you again, and you have to be careful with that. And sometimes it's not what I say, but how I say it. But He said right here, it is a violent passion of the mind, excited by a real or supposed injury.
Have you ever got in your mind before? I've said, boy, if I could just tell them a thing or two, here is what I'd tell them. And maybe they need to be told that, or maybe they don't. We'll deal with that. But it says it's usually accompanied with the propensity to take vengeance or to obtain satisfaction from the offending party. So as we become angry, we're not only mad, and we not only have that passion that, and by the way, anger is an emotion that dwells inside of us. And it's something, when I'll get here in a minute, it's something that we've got to get a hold of and hold on to it, if you'd let me say that. This is going to be exciting tonight. Amen? I already see it. But listen, it goes on further than just that violent passion in the mind. But then we want to go take out and that recompense or revenge for what has made us angry. Can I say quickly tonight that God gets angry? The Bible said in Psalms chapter 7, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. God gets angry. That's an attribute of God. The thing about God is He has righteous indignation. Exodus chapter 4 says that He got angry with Moses when He went down there and He called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and Moses didn't want to go talk. And the Bible said that God got angry with Moses. Over and over and over, you'll find again in all through the book, all through the first Exodus, Leviticus, number, all those, even into Isaiah and all through the Old Testament, God got angry with the nation of Israel. He got angry in Numbers 22 with Balaam, and you can see how that God got angry, and when anger came, it wasn't long that judgment came out. But I want to look at this thing called anger tonight, of when we should be and what we should be angry about. Can I say number one tonight that anger can take control of a person? Anger can get control of you. Your temper. How many of you have? I remember I used to have a pastor that used to say, "When you lose your temper, guess who's going to find it?" The Bible said in Proverbs 14, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. It didn't say that you couldn't get angry. It just said not to be soon angry. You ever seen somebody fly off the handle, if you'd let me say that? That they would see red. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen with people in my family. And I mean, that is something. Most of the time, I can keep my faculties and I can keep anger under control. I take a lot of my anger out on the lawnmower. When I'm out there on the lawnmower riding around in my yard, then I talk to the Lord. I say some things on that lawnmower that I'm not cussing or nothing. Don't misunderstand me there. I know that's what Paul Henry was thinking. I know that's what he was thinking. I had to clarify that. But I say some things out there so that I don't say them to other people. I get them said. And sometimes we do need to say, I'll get there here in just a minute. But listen, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. When you let anger take control of your life and that thing builds up, I don't know how your temper is. I don't know how your anger works or what drives you. But I know this tonight, that when anger comes on us fastly and we cannot hold it under control, we're probably going to say something or do something foolishly tonight. And so he said, he that is soon angry. Ecclesiastes 7 said, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It gets us in trouble, don't it? I talked to a feller one time, and he was telling me he was in the union where he worked at up there at Oak Ridge, and he was a foreman on the job, so he was salaried. And he said a feller tried to get me fired. And he told me the whole story, and he said, you know, and this gentleman that I was talking to is a very meek and mild person. But he said, you know, it took me about 3 or 4 weeks before I could go talk to that gentleman, because I was probably going to say something that I didn't need to say. Now that's wisdom in knowing how to control
your anger. If you realize that you cannot control it, then the whole idea would be to stay away from whatever has got a hold of you. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Don't go deal with that situation right now if you can't hold on to it. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry. Listen, because it's going to get us in trouble. The Bible said in Proverbs 16, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. And so it is our spirit, the anger that is inside of us, that we have to take control of. I believe God can help us. I believe we can say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to get a hold of this, but I need you to help me deal with this right here. I remember my wife was telling me a story one time, and I remember where we were at going down the road, and I believe she was driving. Sometimes you misremember some things, as my daddy says, but I believe she was driving, and she was telling me this story about a child being abused. And I don't know what was special to that story, but I remember that when she got done talking, I just about lost control of my faculty. I was mad. I would still be in jail today if whoever abused that child was in front of me when she told me that story. I mean, that heated me up. You know, it does good to get heated sometimes. I'll deal with that here in a minute too. But we have to learn to take control of some things. You know, there are people who want to make you angry. As a Christian, they want to push your buttons to see you get angry. They do. Some of you work on the job with some people like that. You're around people like that. There's some people in your family that are like that. They live just to see you get angry. I'd try to stay away from them people if you don't know the truth. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. Say, well, they're family. Yeah, but I'd still try to stay away from them. I mean, if every time I went to see some of my family, they made me angry, I think I'd probably only see them about once a year. I'm being honest tonight, you know. What was it that Brother Jeff read this morning? I, with all that lives within us, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes the only way you're going to live peaceably with some people is to stay away from them. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So you have to be careful who you're around. You get around angry people. You know, there's just some people that are angry and are mad all the time. You ever been around people like that? I have. I've worked with some folk like that. I still have some friends like that. Every time you talk to them, there's something going on that they're upset about or angry about. Drama's just running wide open in their life. I hate drama. I hate it. Amen. I hate drama more than anything. Because it just stirs up something on the inside of me that I just hate. And I hate to deal with it. He said, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his way. So you learn to be angry. You learn to be angry all the time and get a snare to your soul. Verse 31, if you look over here, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. So number two, listen, it's not only anger can take a person, but then he says, let it be put away from us. We have to learn to put that away. We have to learn. Look at the company that's kept with anger. Bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. That clamor is just running off the mouth, if you let me say that. And he says, talking about that evil speaking, and then he talks about malice. That malice is wanting to hurt somebody, and that in recompense for what they've done to you. That is the outcome of anger tonight. You realize that bitterness and wrath and anger bring malice. You realize that, don't you? All right. If I asked you, are you angry tonight? Now let me move on. I ain't going down that road. But we have to learn to put anger away. There are times that we need to just let it go. I preached a message on that not some time back, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago. And we have to let it go and get it under control. Take your Bible and go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. I want you to look at something. Galatians chapter 5, as I studied this, the Lord brought me to this here. In Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 22. You should know these, be able to quote these verses. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That word temperance literally means self-control. To have yourself under control. You know, back in the 20s and 30s when they had the temperance movement and that against alcohol, to have self-control and self-abstain from that liquor and alcohol. He talks about right here that we're to have temperance, and one of the things that we're to have self-control over is our anger. We're to have control of it. Because if we don't have control of it, who does? One of the marks of a mature Christian is that they've got control of their anger. Now, I may get angry before I leave out of here tonight. But I would like to think and hope that I have grown enough to have had control of my anger. I would like to think so. There are times that I probably do not. And if you just let yourself go and say things that you shouldn't say and do things that you shouldn't do, you don't have temperance. You don't have self-control. One of the problems that we've had in churches over the years is we've not had self-control. We've not learned how to just let things go. How to forgive people. What was it he said in the book of Proverbs that he talks about the wise man that has discretion to look over a sin and let his anger go. He talks about that over there. Sometimes, most of the time, if not all the time. What did he say right here? He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, somebody's done you wrong. I know they've done you wrong. I understand that. And I know that there's some people you don't want to be around. I understand that. And there's some people just don't get it. They just don't get it. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live peaceably with your own self, you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever just been to the point that you can't even live with your own self, let alone with anybody else? You can't even live with you. You're just going to have to learn how to let anger go. You're going to have to learn how to have self-control in that thing. And listen, I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's a tough thing to do. Especially when somebody has made you mad or angry or said something or done something. And they're supposed to be saved on top of that. We don't know how we're living in a generation that don't even know how to express an opinion or receive somebody else's opinion without getting angry. I mean, if you don't agree with somebody today, they get angry. Nobody knows how to have a different opinion. Nobody knows how to debate anything. Nobody knows how to come to a common agreement on things. I ain't talking about Scripture. I mean, Scripture says what it says. There's no argument with Scripture. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm just talking about things that really just don't even matter sometimes. I was talking to a preacher the other day. He said, if my church wants to come in and set to me backwards, he said, I'll still preach to them. He said, it don't matter to me. He said, some of this stuff just don't matter. So Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Just get rid of it. And then he said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another. Instead of being angry, he said, just forgive. Just be tenderhearted toward one another. If you're going to have a passion or you're going to have an emotion toward people, he said, then just let it be kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. You say, well, that's a sign of weakness. No, that's a sign of being a Christian. But then we come to verse 26, where the Lord gave the Apostle Paul to be angry and sin not. Now, let me say this, that anger can drive you to sin. It can. And that's why he warns us of that, because anger can bring on sin in our life if we're not careful. But he says, be angry and sin not. So what are we to be angry at? I mean, if he tells us over here to put all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil and speaking away from us, and if in the context he's dealing in that with the people in the church at Ephesus and with one another. I believe that when he says for us to be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And some people say, well, then you shouldn't go to bed angry. I don't believe that's what that's talking about. I believe when he's talking about let not the sun go down upon your wrath, as have you ever heard about, well, the sun has set on that situation. That means it's over with. That day is over with. It is done. I believe what he's saying is if it's really worth getting angry over, Then don't quit being angry till you take care of what needs to be took care of. He's following me tonight. All right. Just making sure. I think we need to be angry at our own self sometimes and the sin that gets in our life. I think we need to be angry at the sin that gets in our life. I think sometimes we ought to. Have you ever been angry with yourself? Because you let the devil manipulate you into saying something or doing something or going somewhere that you didn't need to go or not doing something that you should have done. Whether it is we just got fearful of maybe witnessing or we got fearful of doing something for the Lord. A lot of times it's pride that comes out in our life. You know, pride's a big killer. In the church, we got to have our way, don't we? It took me a long time to figure out that I am here to lead this church, and I understand that, but it don't have to be my way or the highway. Right? Are you with me tonight? Okay. I think the Lord has me here to guide and to lead, but it don't have to be my way or the highway. I think we need to get angry at ourselves and then do something about it. Don't do whatever we've done again or do whatever we need to be doing. I think we need to get angry with us. I think we need to be angry with the shape of our nation tonight. And then we need to do something about it. I mean, I am angry tonight. I mean, listen, there should never be a church in question of being shut down. I don't care if it's COVID-19 or not. I mean, listen, they have kept them people in California or trying to keep them from going to church. And then they're fining them, some of them $10,000 every time they meet. That ought to anger us tonight. That ought to make us mad. And then we should do something about it. I don't know what to do, but what are we going to do? You ever been there? I don't know what I'm going to do. But God, I'm going to do something about it. Amen. I mean, we ought to get down on our knees and be praying for those churches out in California tonight that is under persecution because they're a church. You see it however you want to see it tonight, but I'm telling you, when they let them come out there and protest and tell them to go protest and tell the church they can't meet, there's something wrong with the situation tonight. I'm going to get on soapbox here in a minute. But it makes me angry. It should make you angry. The sin of our nation should make you angry. The abortion that's being committed in our nation tonight, God's going to judge us for that. I mean, righteousness exalteth a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. The adultery and the fornication and all the illicit marital affairs and immarital affairs and things outside of the bonds of matrimony that's being committed, it ought to bother you tonight and make you angry. We're just a nation of sinners tonight, but I'm glad Jesus can save. He said, be angry and sin not. Sin should make us angry. Satan, I get angry at him tonight. Get angry with him. I think he knows that. I tell the Lord every now and again, Lord, I just want you to know I hate the devil. If you don't care, tell him that. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to that. I don't want to talk to Slewfoot. But I tell the Lord every now and again, just tell him I'm angry with him. Mad at him. Situation that the church is in tonight, because of all the mess that we're in, whether there's COVID or not, or listen, some are using COVID-19 as an excuse not to come to church. It makes me angry. I don't know about some people, Lord, know better. I've seen situations in the family. I get angry at what Satan does to families tonight, and I'm talking about folk that are in Bible-believing churches, and I sit and watch it happen and know what's going to happen, and sure enough, it happens. I watched a young lady leave church one time. She's probably 18, 19 years old. Didn't want to go where she was going, so she left. She goes to another church. Her mom's stepdad went to that first church, and so they wanted to go to church where she was going, so they end up going just to go with her, and now she's out. You can see all of it. I mean, when you're on the outside looking in, you can just about see it all. And the whole time, for whatever reason, they're not seeing it. And they're not catching on to what's happening. And they're not seeing the spiritual degradation that has taken place to leave a good Bible-believing church where they're being preached to and they're being taught the Word of God and taught how to live right and do right and go somewhere else where they just feel good. I like feeling good too. But it takes more than feeling good to live for the Lord. It takes more than feeling good and that to be able to fight and that the battle when you step out them back doors back there. I get angry at that stuff. I get angry at it because, man, I spend time and that in my study and I pray and I seek God. And listen, I told somebody one time, I said, I have fasted over some of these young people and then watch them do some of the things that they've done. Oh, just make you want to pull your hair out. And they ain't even my kids. I can imagine how their mom and daddy feels. Actually, I can't, but. But some people are losing out tonight. I know they're afraid of, some people are afraid of COVID, although they'll go everywhere else. They just won't come to church. When you run into them out town, or they tell you that they've been to eat at the restaurant, but yet they won't come to church. There's something wrong with that tonight. I tell people, come in late and leave early. If you don't want to be around people, come in late, leave early, sit on the back row. But Marvin will scoot over. You know, it'll be all right. If you don't want to get around people or even talk to them, just come late, leave early, and just go. You'll be glad to be here. We'll be glad to have you. But some stuff like that makes me a little angry. And then he talks about letting not the sun go down upon your wrath. If it's worth angry, if it's worth getting angry over, then it's worth doing something about. That's the way I look at it. And I believe that's what Scripture teaches us right here. If you're going to get angry about it, do something about it. If you can do something about it. Pray about it. I mean, listen, there's some stuff that we can't help them people out in California for. But man, we sure get on our knees and beg God for them. Say, Lord, pour your wrath out on the government out there in California. Amen. I ain't afraid to pray that. Get them unrighteous people out of there where them churches can meet tonight. I mean, it just makes you angry. But we're full of apathy. We've not learned. If we get angry, we get angry at one another, and that's the thing I've never learned, but we don't get angry at the right things, and the things that we're to be angry at, we have apathy over them. You know, that is a want of feeling. That's what apathy is. And he says, neither give place to the devil. As he said, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's a colon there that tells us that there's something else that's going to be listed after that that ties to this. Neither give place to the devil. I believe that when we just get angry but yet do nothing of it, do nothing about the anger about it, then we've gave place to the devil. Now, if we get angry and we sin, we've gave place to the devil. If we get angry and we do nothing to put that anger into motion, I believe we've gave place to the devil. You're going to tell me that the Lord did not get angry when He went into the temple over there at the beginning of His ministry, at the end of His ministry, and He turned over them marble tables and He made Him a whip, if you'd let me say that, and He went in and drove them all out? I believe He was angry. He had righteous indignation. We're to be angry at the right things and at the right people. But I believe when it comes to God's people, I believe He expects us to put that anger away. Now, we have to be careful with that, because when I talked about not being angry tonight, you all were very quiet. But then when I talked about being angry at the right things, you all got very vocal. Because it's easy to get angry at the right things sometimes. And it's easy to get angry, period. It's harder not to be angry when you want to be. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I think the Lord expects us as a church, with one another and with His people, to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Because the Bible said, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He has every right to be angry with us, but yet in Christ He forgave us. Ain't that wonderful tonight? Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. Just a little music tonight, Jacob, if you would. If you need to come and pray, I don't know what you might need to come and pray about. Maybe you're angry tonight at some situations, and there are some situations you need to be angry at. You need to be angry at. You need to react right in that anger. You need to give place to the devil. Don't let it. Don't allow it to let you see it. But sometimes, instead of being angry and having malice and bitterness, we're to put those things away and have tenderheartedness and kindness and forgiveness. A wise man has a discretion just to overlook a transgression. Just because somebody said something out of the way to you, even if they meant to say something out of the way to you, don't mean you have to get angry at them. You may have to deal with the situation, but you don't have to get angry. As God's people, I think He expects us to be kind and tender-hearted. If you need to come and pray. If you've never been saved tonight, I want you to understand that just as it talks about, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us, that's what He'll do for you tonight if you're lost. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come.